commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. And with that, it's the first Tuesday of the month. So, Jen, what does that mean?
Laundry house gang.
That's right. I got so many people in the studio here. I got to check all the mics here and make sure they're up and running. But Laundry House Gang, we have Jen Uhas,
Wayne Heimer,
Craig Compo,
and Mike Tinker.
Craig, can you talk into the mic?
Oh yeah, yeah. I didn't know I had one here. We're sharing. We have just a plethora of
it's a party.
Gangsters.
Now let's just go right to it, Craig.
Yeah.
You've sold your business, but you started a new business. Let's just get the pump out there for the new business.
Okay, yeah, Boat Street Storage, 4122 Boat Street. We actually are pretty much full of cars, but we got room for about six boats. If anybody wants to bring their boats in, we weren't going to mix them in with the cars so they can go in the big boat bays.
You're not cross-contaminating.
No, right, yeah. But if you don't want to plow around your boat all year and it's like under 28 feet, call 907-888-0685. Right on the river, right on the price.
We had to start out immediately with that because
is that a $50?
That's the only reason I'm here. Free plug.
Is that a $50 bill you're sliding across the table?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Mr. Tinker, what's on your mind today?
Well, it's a nice day out there. The temperature's dropped again. It's really good for squirrel trapping. We'll get into that after.
Wayne Heimer, sure. I would respond to that immediately if I were you.
I've learned if you don't set traps, you won't catch anything.
How'd you do this time?
I set traps, and I did pretty well.
How many did you get?
I've killed six. I know that's not 400.
Jen, is that an acceptable number?
It depends on how many squirrels were in that colony, but are you going to report that at the Alaska Trappers Association meeting tonight?
I doubt it.
Mr. Tinker.
This is the time of year when, we all know that the elections are coming up and candidates are popping out of the woodwork.
Oh, you're being polite.
I'm
my
being
God.
Polite. Yeah, they're thicker than grass on the lawn out there. But one of the things that would be interesting for some of the listeners that pay attention here and that often ask you questions that we get oriented toward is we like to talk to those candidates about Title VIII of the Alaska Constitution because they
explain what Title VIII is, please.
Title VIII is under natural resources, and it's the part of the Constitution that talks about distributing the resources of the state. And it's the best uses, highest best uses are the for Alaskans, that things be managed to reasonable, productive levels and sustained. And there's a couple other little pieces to that. But it's the kind of thing where when candidates who are not familiar with the natural resources part of the Constitution start getting asked questions, they really wallow in the weeds. So one of the things the Laundry House Gang does as we go along and candidates ask, for example, you know, what should I be looking at here? That's where we start.
Well, first, and luckily we have the Laundry House Gang because you look at all resources, those of fin, fur, scale, oil, natural gas, timber. You look at all resources and access and use of them.
Yeah, and especially access to resources is critical. At this time, the state is in big battles with the Fed over navigability, and that brings up another issue that's critical to us, and that is when Alaska was given statehood, we came in as what was called an equal footing state. And an equal footing state meant that we had the rights and responsibilities and authorities that the other states had.
Okay.
The only problem was, since we had been a federal territory for so long and the feds were so embedded here, although the Congress went that way, the agencies didn't.
We're going to play a game.
Right now?
Right now.
Okay. Get the cards out.
Okay. Each of you is going to choose a gubernatorial candidate. You can't choose the same one. You can't choose the same one because you only get four. But we have so many people running, and I want to see...
Which state are we talking about? Dave?
Alaska.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Mike Tinker, out of your 13 people, who are you choosing?
Crum.
That's what I was going to say.
No, you know, we got another one.
Oh, you
got
to have another one? Oh. Taylor. Drink Taylor.
And you can't participate. So... I pick Bernadette.
Okay.
Of course you do.
She sends me three emails every day, and I think that's a really good sign.
And how many responses does she get, and how many screens long are they?
Well, I don't respond to the emails, but I did give her, when she visited the Laundry House Gang, an extensive review of Alaska's state and federal regulations.
Okay, I'm going to choose Click Bishop. Okay. So we have...
Come.
Taylor. Wilson.
Bernadette.
And Bishop. Excuse me. Click Bishop, yeah.
So what do you want to do with these four, Dave?
Yeah.
Where are we going here?
You know, just trying to figure out who's a player and who's going to be there near the end, who you want to invest resources of listening to.
You're assuming we have a good track record of picking the winners.
I know. You know, now tomorrow, the Laundry House Gang, you have what? Senator Hughes.
Yes.
How many times in a row... are you going to have people, gubernatorial candidates, wanting your time on your Wednesday?
We've had two. We have the next 2 weeks. We have them coming, and there'll be more after that, I'm sure.
Usually, every election cycle, and we've had to discuss that with a few governors who were running for re-election. Nice to see you. It's been 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. Well put.
Current governor excluded. He's been current governor excluded.
But Jim. You hit it right on the head. Who you can invest the time in because have they invested the time with you?
So I will answer that question.
Yeah.
As I tell everybody I know, and some of the folks in this room are used to hearing it, some of your listeners are used to hearing it, when they're running, you invest in every single one so that it's when they do get elected, it's not a surprise. You know, it's exhausting, but trying to educate every single one about at least the most important issues. You know, one of those is primacy of management. Mm-hmm. Right now, we have a federal government that's amenable. We're working on some things with our Alaskans who are in the Department of Interior at the highest levels.
You know, that's what's so special about the Laundry House Gang, what you just said. You invest in every candidate to educate them.
Regardless of party or anything like that.
Yeah. That's why.
Yeah, I've had a few criticisms. Oh, Jennifer invited so-and-so to that meeting. Oh, my gosh.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Vet them.
Whether they get elected or not, I want them to know. And, you know, there's been some people, you're looking at, you know, across party lines or something, or they support something that's liberal. Well, you know, you also educate them as to why we feel the way we do and know what we know.
Now, I'm going to be facetious here at Mr. Heimer's spot, but if you're smart enough to go out and trap six squirrels, you are smart enough to explain Title VIII to most of the candidates.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
That's pretty low, Dave.
Okay,
let me give you another reason why it's important for an organization that's founded and basically... Our total exposure is trying to help with understanding resources, getting management going the right direction. And that is, you have 12 candidates out there for governor right now. And like you're saying, you know, we talk facetiously about four here and where they're going. However, all 12 of them are going to end up somewhere. And if we talk to all 12 of them, we get the message across. I'll give you, for instance, there are other elections coming up. You know, I mean...
Or they might be lieutenant governor candidates.
Yes.
At the end of the day.
Or a senatorial.
Yeah.
Or appointees.
Appointees. Cabinet members.
So the more we can get them to do two things. One is have a basic understanding of what this part of the Constitution does. And then the second one, know that they can come to us and ask a question if they have it. Mm-hmm. If they have a very specific question. What kind of squirrel was it, Heimer? Okay? We'll help him figure that out.
I always say to people, depending on what this subject matter is, what's your thought on say, wolf management in this area? I'll say, let me give the laundry house gang a call to find out what my answer is. One time, C.B. Bettisworth, he asked me, he goes, what's your policy on education? And I said, whatever your wife Karen Perdue says it is. You know, go to the right people.
Yeah.
Okay, Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFVR Radio. We have the laundry house gang in here. We have Craig with his little red hat on, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Craving a taste of Italy in the heart of Fairbanks? Head on down to Giraldo's Italian restaurant for a true family night out. Every Tuesday night, kids eat free with a delicious serving of spaghetti, just like Nona makes. And with a full kids' menu packed with tasty options, there's something for every little taste bud. So gather the whole crew for a fun, stress-free night out at Giraldo's, where the food is fresh, the atmosphere is warm, and the kids are always smiling.
Getting a little personal here, but true story. So I hurt my knee and a friend says, go see Dr. Kim Driftmeyer at McKinley Orthopedics. So glad I did. Turns out I needed surgery. Dr. Driftmeyer and his team took great care of everything right here in Fairbanks. MRI, physical therapy, surgery, all in one place. Easy, efficient, honestly, kind of pleasant. Oh, and did you know he's also an outstanding spine surgeon? Sports injury, broken bones, or just need a tune-up? Go see Dr. Kim Driftmeyer. McKinley Orthopedics. Trusted care, local team, real results.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
This week's 50-50 Friday offer is from Great Harvest Bread Company. They offer a full menu from breakfast sandwiches, soups and sandwiches, fresh salads, fresh baked breads, cookies, scones, muffins, and giant cinnamon rolls, just to name a few items. They grind their own flour daily. It just doesn't get fresher than that. If you're short on time, just swing by the drive-thru. Ask about catering for your holiday events, too. Great Harvest Bread Company on Airport Way at Wilbur.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
KFAR Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today with highs around 24. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight. Lows dip down to about 12. About an inch of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night with another dusting Thursday night. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. We have the Laundry House Gang in the house in the purple padded room. None of our North Korean equipment is broken yet, but Craig's here, and we'll see what happens.
I don't know if people realize that you do this job, Dave, in a purple padded room.
Which sparkle should, purple padded
yeah,
room.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that could be meaningful in the...
It could be workforce, harassment.
Yeah.
Bad working conditions. Where's OSHA? What the heck? So, okay. Mike, I don't mean to hijack all your items here, but
No, you're fine.
We're having fun. So, Fairbanks, what I asked them to think about while we're gone is to choose for the next governor, what would you tell them your belief is the most critical resource management issue out there? Mr. Heimer.
I think it's defining what management is. Everybody kind of has an impression, but what really is management? We're supposed to do it. We know who's supposed to do it. That's a little confused right now and has been forever. But what is management and how do you do it?
Ms. Juhas.
So the suite of issues that fall into one category, as outlined by CACFAS, the Citizens Advisory Commission on Federal Areas, everybody just Google promises made, promises broken, Alaska. and it's outlined very well.
I will do that. I'll do that on our half-hour break.
We've sent that to each of the gubernatorial candidates that's visited the Laundry House Gang.
Craig, what's your, what would you?
Access. Access to everything. Access to, was that yours?
Sure.
Access.
You're stealing Tinker's stuff.
Access to resources at roads, barge access, outdoor access. Access for Alaskans for everything. So that once you have access, you can't do anything without access. Yeah, and, you can have all the good ideas in the world.
And the most incredible access was by Sturgis. Had to go twice.
Sturgeon.
Mr. Tinker, what's yours?
I'll just go a step further because I had written down access, but the real crisis facing us from a resource standpoint and every other in the next governor's term, first term maybe, or how it works out, is money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the state of Alaska right now does not have enough sources of income to get to the budget that we are trying to uphold, there's been no legislative enthusiasm for cutting it. They want to add on and on and on, and so this next governor is going to have a terrible battle trying to maintain the levels we have now.
You know, and I with that, my thought was review of all resource revenue streams. What do we get to what do we pay in?
And we have lots of revenue streams. Probably the most obvious one is in the protection for the commercial fisheries back in 64. We allowed them to take money that would have gone into tax-type things and put it into special programs and the amount of dollars that go into the general fund. So they can be spent on things like schools, for instance, is so low that it's not an issue.
Okay. Hmm.
I would argue that...
You don't argue, you dictate, sir.
Well, I would dictate that it all begins with what management is. I suggest that management is intervening in any established system to reach or pursue a predefined benefit. The predefined benefit is right there in the Constitution. We need to decide whether we are going to intervene or whether we aren't.
You know... Maybe what you should do is when all these gubernatorial candidates come to speak to you is direct them to the KFAR audio archives of today's show.
We'd direct them to many of them if you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
Speaking of what Wayne was talking about, one other thing that has been in the news lately is this egregious taking of fish in Alaskan waters by Russian and Chinese fishing boats. They're not paying attention to the harvest data. Mm-hmm. And I have an excellent solution for that.
Trump, shoot them out of the water like you do.
Dunleavy just borrows one of Trump's boats they're using over in the Caribbean or wherever to take care. Just one time. I bet they don't take any more fish.
You know, can we call that or what?
That's a smokescreen. The issue for fisheries in the North Pacific Bering Sea is not oriented to who's catching them.
Okay. Mr. Tinker, what else is on your list, sir?
The relationship of what this new governor is going to have to do with boards and commissions.
Yes.
Because, as most people are aware, boards near and dear to our heart, like there's a few advisory boards, but the Board of Fish, Board of Game cycle, they have a limited term, usually 3 years, and then they can either be reappointed or somebody can be appointed in their place. And we would talk to candidates about the type of qualifications we want for those people in further explanation of the qualifications that are in the statutes.
Okay. Craig, have you ever been appointed to a board?
I was on the board of 55, you know, the Murkowski's board, the POMB thing, and that Al Adams was my partner on that. We had teams of two, and that was actually a lot of fun and educational and all that, but not recently, no. I was busy running a business. I didn't have any time to be on a board.
Jen? Have you ever been on a board?
Oh, many.
I knew that, but I was wondering which one.
Right now, the governor's got me on the Labor Relations Board. But the local advisory committee meetings are coming up, and here in November, we will be voting on 5 of the 15 seats that will be up for re-election. Bring your friends. It's a great place to serve. I have chosen to simply go to that as a member of the public and not fill one of the vacancies for the last 3 years I've been coming to the Fairbanks AC, but it's one of the places that we can participate. I've got actually a quirky issue, cause since you guys bring up fish and you bring up what's out in the ocean. Now, they would tease me, and only a few biologists didn't, but they would tease me when I got hired by the department in 2009 because we had the declining salmon, and the Humboldt squid is one of my little tinfoil hat issues. They are not supposed to be north of the Sea of Cortez. They grow as big as you or me within 3 years.
Feet.
They've got a parrot-like beak.
They're ravenous.
Yes, and so the immediate years right after these strandings in BC and on the Oregon coast, you know, the salmon were just missing. And I said, do we think it has anything to do with these Humboldt squid? Well, there was just, I get the Google alerts, and there was just another mass beaching near Washington. I thought, I know they're eating our salmon. And it took, you know, 3 years of the department people rolling their eyes and poking fun at my tinfoil hat. Mm-hmm. And then Gordy Williams came back from the Pacific meeting and said, they actually talked about that this year. But I'm watching the Humboldt squid.
Wow, yeah. Good for you. Yeah.
Well, our biologists are watching these zones a lot of times. You know, if you've seen the fire maps, and they'll say, you know, the ocean temperature is this way, and the salmon aren't going to come home until it turns this color. They can make it through green, but it really needs to be blue, and right now it's yellow. It's too warm. Well, the Humboldt squid love that, and they breed at the right temperature, and they release 33,000 little egg sacs that within a month they're as big as my hand, just like those alien movies.
I think we have to pass a hat for a donation.
But we need to decide whether we're going to intervene we aren't.
The reason I think we're going to intervene in your clothing, sir. You have on a 6 to 7 year old T-shirt.
Well, I got it for singing the Star Spangled Banner. I didn't do bocce or anything like that.
Yeah, you
remember purpose here, Dave.
Yeah, focus.
Okay. Anyway, Mr. Tinker.
Well, on fisheries issue, Jennifer just brought up the kind of thing that leads people into the weeds, and I'm not saying it's not an issue. What I'm saying is it's a very complicated issue.
Yeah,
and the thing that is most disturbing to me is there are some things we can do in there. We've talked on this program and amongst various folks about production of salmon and hatchery additions and that kind of thing. And there are things like that we can actually alter. We can't alter the ocean temperature. If all five of us in this room, you know, you get a couple of hot coals and jump into the North Pacific, it's not going to make any difference to the salmon especially. But if you start looking at for example, with hatcheries, not putting fish in that are competing for food, that's something we could do. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go back to the same economics. There's an economic structure out there among commercial fishing and hatcheries production that suggests, boy, we've got to attract that because it's worth tons of money.
Mm-hmm.
The tons of money gets to a very small portion of Alaskans. Most of our limited entry permits are owned by non-Alaskans, so it doesn't help there.
True.
And very few dollars out of each thousands, per se, get into the general fund.
So it does go to what I hope we can give Hymer some time for, though, is what is management? You know, and he said it half jokingly, but when we had a few of these blooms, as they're called, of squid down in Sitka, Commissioner Campbell worked with me, and we prosecuted is the term for you prosecute a fishery. You open it up and say, go catch these things. Sure, you know, the large ocean and what Tinker is saying is absolutely relevant, but back to what is management? After the break, let's talk about that on land and changing policies on predator management versus some of the feds who just want to rewild and let everything grow and let bobcats eat pets and children.
We will do that. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We have the Laundry House Gang in here. Going to leave you with some Isley Brothers bumper music. I have no idea what it is. And then we have some Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather, and we will be back.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. It's election day. While the government's still shut down, ongoing trade wars, Democrats are trying to make the case that Americans are struggling. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says costs are going up thanks to President Trump's tariffs.
Donald Trump and Republicans in the House and the Senate have failed the American people, and the American people know it.
Well, the House GOP conference chair is Lisa McClain, Republican from Michigan, speaking with reporters, claiming that Democrats are inflicting pain on Americans with this ongoing shutdown.
Democrats have weakened our military, threatened families, and held hard-working Americans hostage. Why? All because they voted to shut the government down.
Well, Democrats argue Republicans have prolonged the crisis by refusing to negotiate. The Democrats want an extension of health care subsidies in a bid to slow rising costs for Americans. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports Governor Mike Dunleavy issued a disaster declaration Monday to deal with food insecurity as a result of the federal government shutdown. As part of the 30-day disaster declaration, the governor's administration will work with the federal contractor responsible for loading EBT cards to deposit benefits on a weekly schedule, Dunleavy's office said Monday. The health department will also begin discussions with food banks and work with them to make sure resources are available to assist Alaskans who may need them, the governor stated in a release. The shutdown is expected to affect at least 66,000 Alaskans who use SNAP benefits. Dunleavy said Friday that he would be meeting with state legislative leaders by Monday. It also comes as President Donald Trump's administration faces deadlines on Monday to tell two federal judges whether it will comply with court orders that it continue to fund SNAP, the nation's biggest food aid program, using contingency funds during the government shutdown. Dunleavy's spokesperson Jeff Turner said the federal judge's decision would not affect the governor's declaration.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Golden Heart City, get ready to pump up the kids. This holiday season, Last Frontier Media Active is proud to carry on a local legacy, the Adopt-A-Family program, started by Love, Inc. way back in 1995. And we're keeping the tradition with help from Napa Auto Care Group, Lotto Alaska, Kumon, and Samart Automotive. You can help families right here in our community by providing toys, clothes, and holiday essentials that make a real difference. This holiday season, we will continue the tradition of connecting families in need with generous adopters like you. Starting November 10th, tune in to learn how to adopt a family or donate. Let's keep the spirit alive because together we can make this holiday season shine brighter than ever. Pump up the kids, adopt a family, because every family deserves to feel the magic of the holidays.
A special thank you goes to Lotto Alaska and the members of the Napa Auto Care Group like Frontline Automotive, Gabe's Truck and Auto,
plus Kumon and Samard Automotive. Go to KFARradio.com for all the details.
Dearest Mother, I am writing you this letter from Brewster's. I recently was asked to go to a hockey game. It was told to me that before every game, there is a place where the spirit of camaraderie flows as freely as the ale. It is, of course, Brewster's. I decided to order one of my favorites, the award-winning handcrafted half-pound burger. Mother, I could eat one of those burgers for every meal and never tire of them. My new friends call going to Brewster's before the game pre-gaming. I will be doing this often. Your beloved son, Henry.
You find your calm and steady out on the trail, wherever Alaska's wilderness calls you, and you keep answering that call every time. The next hunt, the next fishing trip, or camping with the family. Living in Alaska gives you the opportunity to explore. Finding your Alaska is a journey that will always lead you just beyond your next campsite. Frontier Outfitters is here, so you can be there. Alaskan proven equipment, the brands you trust. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have a rowdy laundry house gang in the studio here, led by Mr. Heimer.
No.
Of all people. Now, Jen has asked you to go deeper into management and what you mean and what the capabilities of proper management would be.
Well, when you think of what management is, we tend to focus on wildlife or fisheries management. But on a broader concept, it works for human resources, it works for financial, it works for industrial, or whatever. What management is basically pursuit of a predefined objective.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you pursue a predefined objective is to intervene in the existing system if it's not getting it done, or if you could do it better. So when we speak of management, we have to talk about a management action, which is disturbing a pre-existing system. Well, we have some very stout and stable pre-existing systems in fish and wildlife, and disturbing them is a really hard job, primarily, I think, because we lack the will or the means sometimes to intervene. When we talk about the conflicts, as Tinker just did, between state and federal management, the problem is that the predefined benefit is exactly opposite. Ours from the Constitution is maximum sustainable use.
Mm-hmm.
Theirs from who knows where is minimal use. Now, how are we going to get maximum, together on that?
Maximum defined profit for specific users.
It's benefit, however you however you define it.
Yeah.
If the benefit that you seek is the impression of untrammeled wilderness, then management is disturbing the system, like the state of Alaska, to produce the illusion of untrammeled wilderness. And I used to say the feds were non-managers, but it turned out they're very effective managers because they have intervened in the existing system to force their will, as Tinker pointed, from the lower U.S. across Alaska. You know, if we knew what management was and could agree on it, we might be able to agree on who's supposed to do it and how it's to get done.
So it sounds like you need more confrontation at times with federal resource management on the state of Alaska.
Oh, the driving question for resources and the arguments between the agencies and the state, you know, that was a situation of the turnover at statehood,
mm-hmm.
where on paper, Alaska's constitution is very interesting. It says something a lot of constitutions don't, but one of them things is that words used in the constitution mean their casual definition. So, in other words, an agency can't come in and say, well, that's not what they meant. That word really means, that word management really means something else. Unfortunately, our courts don't see that sometime, our Supreme Court. But my point here is the Statehood Act gives the state of Alaska a lot of authority. But in a lot of cases, we did not jump up and accept it in the manner we should have. What we should have said was, thank you very much, Fed, we'll take over. But instead, we got ourselves into these situations, well, we'll work on it with you for a while. And all we did was empower them to then continue managing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the national norms for protection and preservation changed for unused lands, especially unused federal lands, Alaska's left holding a bag because we know that we don't have a resource development pattern. We don't have an access pattern that all other states got as equal footing. And so now we're in catch-up mode. In recent times, we've caught up in some big jumps. John Sturgeon did a wonderful job pointing out to the Fed that their definition of what they control under navigability is wrong. That case actually goes back to the 1950s that they have to base some of that on, because that's when states were given equal footing with regard to lands under navigable waters. Okay, John basically rode that issue to win against the Fed.
And what has happened since?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, a lot has happened since in the in the game of whack-a-mole that it isn't, well, every little regulation, every little land management plan, every little grab by every little mid-level worker who has encroached further and further on state primacy, and the diligence that it takes to push back in every one of those and rally the public comments and have commissioners push back and say, no, thank you. This is, you know, let's hold to the principles. And once it's been there for so many years, then they start using, you know, the federal folks who would like to manage instead of the primary manager, the state. And you know, let's be straight, we've got a lot more as state managers in common with our tribes than we do with the federal managers.
So Attorney General Cox, in the paper yesterday, has appointed a
Solicitor General.
A Solicitor General, whose job it is.
And two assistant solicitor general.
Yep.
Solicitors general.
And their job is to fight these battles.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, officially.
Yep.
Right now, it's been one of those things where we get something like a John Sturgeon issue. There's nobody in state government appointed to do that. So you've got the attorney general trying to do a little piece. You got the fish and game trying to do a little piece. You got DNR trying to do a little piece.
Well,
the solicitor general's concept is we'll consolidate that and go bash them. For you.
As the Laundry House Gang looked at that concept, because every gubernatorial candidate's going to be coming through,
mm-hmm.
and personally, I like it.
Yep.
And the Laundry House Gang, if you guys like it, you can educate and make them adhere to it.
The issue for me is that here is a site of focus, an office, if you will, that a lot of the arguments that we get embroiled in are responsible for. You can take it to them. You can talk to a governor and an attorney general and a solicitor general and say, we've got to argue this battle with the Department of the Interior, Department of Commerce, whoever. And that's their job. Right now, it isn't. You got to pick somebody out of an agency somewhere and say, part of your mission will be to do this. Okay? You got to focus.
True.
And I really like that, Dave.
True.
Well, actually, I got picked one time. I was a happy little sheep guy, and along came the feds, and Wally Hickel wanted to sue them for doing what they're doing, taking over. And they said, we need somebody.
I think I saw that in a Bob Ross painting, a happy little sheep guy.
Yeah. Well, I thought I was happy. But it turned out I was unfulfilled because I got this next appointment. They said, you stop being a sheep guy. Go to work for the ANILCA resistance team, basically what it was, and establish standing for us to sue the feds in federal court for takeover. So my job was to detail federal atrocities and management conflicts and establish standing for Alaska so we could sue them. I did.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty easy job when you think of it.
But not you had lots of resources.
How'd you get the easy part? When I had that, I had to go testify and get a bullseye painted on my back.
Oh, you guys were both out in the weeds fighting them like I did as part of the Department of Transportation team to do that for transportation issues. Was an interesting battle also.
Okay, Cop, I want to hear something from you. What did you do to this wrath? You know,
I was working on navigability issues.
he sold boats and storage space. So
what happened was we showed harm to the state from the federal takeover. The suit began to go forward, and we had a governor, Tony Knowles, who just killed it. He didn't want it to happen. So his interests, those that were driving him, were greater than those that were driving the state, according to the Constitution, as I see it.
Worst governor since Steve Cooper, by the way.
Nothing, you know.
I concur.
We worked hard.
That's rough.
We tried to document everything, just as Tinker did, and nothing happened because nobody really made it their job. I'm encouraged by what Mike has to report.
You know, it seems like every governor has strengths and weaknesses, and Knowles
had a lot more weaknesses.
he left the resources and control of the resources and gave it away. He really did.
He had no spine.
And then went to work for the National Park Service.
I think Tony's problem was he and his commissioners that he picked and whatnot didn't know the things like Title VIII in our Constitution existed.
Yeah.
I mean, they might have known they were written in there, mm-hmm. but they never paid any attention to them. They never focused on them, and they never got challenged. And that's one of the problems is that when you fight these battles, and we have done this too, where we've gone to the state, the Laundry House Gang has written things for the legislature that have been examples of changing a word or two or a passage in a particular statute to solve a problem. We've done that two or three times. And we've written some pretty big pieces that have turned into statute language. And that's, you have to start right with the governor's office and work down through the legislative thing into the agencies. Because as soon as you do that, it's a fish and game thing. You know, the Fairbanks Advisory, Fish and Game Advisory Committee will make a proposal, goes to the board of game, they consider it, and the fish and game starts to have an epileptic fit before the board votes on it.
The Laundry House Gang shall do that, not may.
Yeah.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break and have the Laundry House Gang in the theater here with me. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Listen to KFAR Monday through Friday at 7:40 a.m. and 2:03 p.m. for the Precious Metals Report brought to you by Gold Buyers of Alaska. You can trust Gold Buyers of Alaska and their incredible attention to detail. Buy or sell gold, silver, bullion, investment metals. Protect your wealth and build your individual retirement account with Gold Buyers of Alaska, 915 30th Avenue. The Precious Metals Report, Monday through Friday on KFAR at 7:40 a.m. and 2:03 p.m. Gold Buyers of Alaska.
A dependable heating system is essential for rural communities. No matter the season, no matter where you live, the Woodway has the Toyotomi to keep you warm. Toyotomi heaters are the most economical heating solution, lightweight and easy to transport. So whether your home is in town or out in the bush, you'll enjoy its ease and comfort. Toyotomi heaters come with an installation kit and Wi-Fi capabilities, so you can make sure your house doesn't freeze when you're out of state. Toyotomi, the Alaskan way, the right way, the wood way.
70 hours, that's the average time between each gun suicide in Alaska. That's less than 3 days. Help more Alaskans live longer by keeping your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Storing guns safely is an important way to help prevent deaths of children, teens, or anyone in a difficult situation. If you or someone you know is in crisis, contact the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by calling or texting 988. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Division of Behavioral Health, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association, and this station.
KFAR Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 24. Northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows around 12 tonight. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Slight chance of snow. High temperatures reach up to 20. About an inch of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night, with another dusting Thursday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have the Laundry House Gang in the studio with me, and this is something I ask them every time that they're in here. It's the month of November. What are you going to get out and do in the month of November? Mr. Heimer, what's your recommendation?
I'm going to go squirrel trapping with a vengeance.
You'll step up your game?
Yeah, I'll step up my game, if you will. I hope to find my previously harvested bag of squirrels stashed somewhere.
I think this is great because usually you come in with your tail between your legs, the squirrels are winning. But, man, you came in with moxie and sass in your step, and, man.
The last meeting we had, Al really made it clear, if you don't set traps, you won't catch anything.
And you were surrendering. You had surrendered. Now you're back.
I'm back, yeah.
And the
woods can be empty.
Other than squirrel refuse.
Well, you know, it is trapping season, and let's put in another plug for the monthly Alaska Trappers Association meeting tonight at 6:30 up at the Dog Mushers Hall. You know, just for a couple dollars, you can share a great meal and get to know a few folks. And then at 7 o'clock, our good friend Pete Buist, who guided for a long time with Tinker, will be the speaker tonight. But you know, Carson Keyes is out there and a few other guys who just wanted to learn, and it's a real welcoming group. Trappers are really nice people. Even if you're not a trapper now, go up and just listen to some of the stories, listen to what's going on, get involved. There's some really cool drawings out there. But it's definitely start your trapping. The Gibbs have been getting a whole lot of beavers. Don't know if you guys have been watching that on Facebook, but there's a lot of folks out there getting things right now. And I see those lines posted when we go bird hunting, and we are just really enjoying our little wire-haired pointing griffon axe has been out there doing good, getting the birdies, and we're going to serve that for Thanksgiving. It's November, so we only come on once a month, and yes, they're going to be tiny. Stop teasing me, but we're going to serve little game hens for Thanksgiving this year.
Mr. Compo.
Well, Johnny Hajdukovic and I usually try to go into Healy Lake later than anybody. The latest we ever went in was the 27th of October. I don't know if the lake has frozen yet. I haven't been in town here for a couple of weeks, and I don't know how cold it got. But on the good pasture, the bears have been getting into cabins around our lower cabins. So thinking of getting a hold of my buddy with an airboat, might make a run up there and just see what's going on in the
barrier. See if there's something for you to shoot.
Yeah, see what's up there.
Mr. Tinker.
Well, I want to make a comment on the trapping to start with, and that is a lot of people, when you say trapping, have a vision, a mental picture of somebody with huge metal traps and a dog sled or a snow machine and headed out for about 40 miles.
Or cages for squirrels on the Chena.
Yeah. But however, I want to point out that under Alaska regulatory things, all of you who set a trap for that vole that's in the pantry in your house are trappers. Mm-hmm. And if they start to get into your food supplies, Dave, you know, and you set that trap that you went down to Walmart and paid 49 cents for, you're a trapper.
You bring that up, and I would go down and teach at the American Wilderness Leadership School, and the Rogan Camp girls would say, yeah, after breakfast, I'm going to go check my trap line. I'm like, "What? Where's her traps? Where's she trapping?" And she was trapping these funny little deer mice.
Yeah, in the pantry.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I get mine now. I'm just commenting on theirs.
Okay.
This is November. There's the department will start very soon, if they, it's about this week or next, talking about ice thicknesses on the water around here. And there's almost nothing more fun while it's still warm and not 24 below zero to go ice fishing. Mm-hmm. And when the ice gets about 4 or 5 inches thick, you can't take the pickup truck out there, but you can
get out there.
Yeah, and that's right. And that's a really good thing to do, and it's a really nice month to start it in.
Okay, my thought, I'm going to do sort of like a Mission Impossible. And key the music, because what I'm going to do, I might need someone's help for a distraction, but I'm going to go to Jen Uhas's house and steal some grouse that are being cooked for Thanksgiving. So I might have to have someone distract her while I make the illegal entry.
Piece of cake, Dave. We can work on that.
I know.
Yeah, you've got a fantastic lady at home that goes for waterfowl on upland game.
I know, but, you know, you have given on Fairbanks Foodies your recipes. And if I'm going to steal anything, it's going to be food. And it's going to be good food. And Miss Uhas, you probably make the best recipes for grouse in the interior, and it should be noted, and it is now noted, that I would steal the food. And Mr. Compo, I'm going to need your help in the distraction. So that's my thought.
You notice, folks, that he said he's going to steal the food, not the recipe.
Yeah.
I have a nice trapper story.
Oh.
You know, I'm not an experienced trapper, nor am I good at it yet, but I bought a thingamajig a while ago.
We all know what a thingamajig is.
Well,
yeah.
It's a trap of conibear. I don't know. It's a something or another that kills whatever you catch instantly. And I thought, well, I'd be humane in my harvest of squirrels. I've had that thing for a couple of years and I haven't figured out how to set it yet. So I go to Century Hardware and I'm looking at the pile of them that I bought one from, and this guy is standing there. He's a trapper. And he's a nice guy, and he says, "What are you doing?" I says, "I'm trying to look around and see if there's some hint here as to how to set this thingamajig." He says, "Oh, well, come over here, and you get one of these scissor-like things, and you compress it, and you do this, and you do that."
It's called a setter.
Yeah, and I'm in business. The neighborhood feral cat is kind of
in trouble.
A little in trouble, but
shout out, too, to Mike Glund and the gang over at Century Hardware and those guys. It's really, I like going in there. You know, it reminds you of old time Fairbanks. You it go does. In there, you got every nut, bolt, screw. You got helpful people.
Or upstairs, got, you know.
Buy your guns there. Yeah, buy your stuff there.
You go back to the gun section there, and they have such knowledgeable Fairbanksons.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's really good. It just feels good when you shop
there. They could
even
sell you a gun and ammunition for sheep hunting in there, Dave.
Well, and they have the parts, too.
They have.
Paul's always complaining that, you know, back in the day, you just fix something if it broke. And, you know, nowadays, you got to go buy a whole new broom because nobody's got just the head to fix the broom.
Yeah.
You know, or the piece that connects it. And we go there a lot just for the little pieces that you should be able to find.
Thingamajig.
It's way worse than that, Jen. It's where you go in and you say, what are you looking for? I'm looking for that little curlicue thing about this big. Row 9, section 4.
Yeah. And it's also entertaining to look at the pictures of everybody that's got this ripped. Have you seen all the pictures on the outside? They take pictures when they catch somebody shoplifting or stealing.
But they've also got one of the best bulletin boards in town. You go down there to find local meetings, who's selling what, puppies.
Okay, I have to go off script. And just see who has been to the Allen and Peterson location yet.
Yeah, but I want to.
Oh, I haven't been to that, no.
Well, at least someone knows what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're rebuilding a house after a fire, so I definitely want to go poke around there.
Yeah. So I've not been in there yet, but the grand opening was Saturday at 2.
Where is it at?
It's right next. Joanna it's Fabric. In the Gavora.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
in the Gavora Mall.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I didn't know it was open.
Oh, you were the one who brought up, you know, Mike Lund and
Hardware. I know. I've been out of town.
What do they sell?
Yeah. Go in and find out. Refrigerators, ovens, dishwashers.
Yeah.
All the fancy appliances.
Yeah, they're top shelf.
You know,
it would
be amazing if somebody in town actually had inventory. Yeah. You know, you go there and you're waiting. I told you, at one of the big box stores, I went there and I waited like 12 weeks, but it was in Anchorage for 8 of those weeks. And I said, I got trucks down there. No, you can't do that. I had to wait like six more weeks.
You're going to be interested, David, at the Allison Peterson in Anchorage. Mm-hmm. They do cooking classes to get people in and use the stuff. And so I'd taken a few of those with my friend Robin Phillips. We would sign up for those when I was down there. And, you know, they'd do a whole, like a Fairbanks foodie thing. Mm-hmm. You should talk to them about maybe even incorporating that into the program.
You know, that's
advertising.
That's a great idea, Miss Uhas. I'm going to do that.
Hey, Dave, speaking of, we were talking big box stores, and I won't mention which one, but there's a video online. Have you seen the Left-Handed Hammer video? This guy walks into one of the big box stores, and he's got a GoPro. I mean, he's got a camera on his hat or whatever, and he goes up to this guy, and he says, hey, do you guys have any left-handed hammers? And the first thing the guy did was pick up his phone and start looking. And you know what he did? He goes, well, if we did, they'd be in Hardware. Where's Hardware? And he's looking down on his phone. And you can see the Hardware sign right in the background there. He goes, never mind, I got this. A left-handed hammer.
Okay, final thoughts, Mr. Heimer?
None. I'm empty. I have explained management till I'm blue in the face and probably nothing will happen.
Wow.
He's a real optimist.
I'm going to keep after the squirrels, but nothing is likely to happen.
Okay. Miss Uhas.
Allen and Peterson, I want to see you pursue that.
I will. That I will.
A prediction.
If it's anything to do with Dallas, I'm going
to
kick your backside.
It doesn't have anything
to
do with Dallas. And unfortunately, I think Mondami's going to win, but only by 6 points. Dave?
Okay.
Just a guess. My prediction.
Mr. Taker,
weather's great. Governor, get outside.
Mayor of
true, it is. And let's see, my final thoughts are, you were seeing the beginning of the electioneering campaign season coming in for the state with 12, 13 gubernatorial candidates, the House members, the Senate members. It's getting thick, and bear through it. Everyone's taking off on me. Jeez, you guys don't even...
Well, you started talking about local politics.
Yeah. Jen's out the door. But appreciate it, and I have some words of wisdom for Mr. Heimer.
I'm ready.
Don't ever surrender. You this went and got six squirrels, buddy. You are back.
You got a roll.
You are the man, the myth. The legend.
Yeah, well, I'm just fearful that I'll catch gray jays when I put bread out for bait.
Fairbanks, it's been fun Laundry House Gang, go have fun. You guys have your meeting tomorrow. It's out where?
It's at TVSA. At Everybody, noon. Anybody's welcome. You haven't gone,
at
you're
noon.
Welcome to show up.
At
yep.
noon.
Yep.
Bring your own lunch.
That's yes. right.
Fairbanks, I will see you Friday. I have Mike Prox in the studio tomorrow.